What's going on? It's Steve J. Larson. Welcome to Sales Funnel Radio. On this episode today, I'm going to share with you guys more about there's three pillars of lead flow. I actually just did a speech about this last night in front of a live audience and driving my daughters to school. And I was like, what should I talk about on the podcast? And they're like, they actually came to the speech. So they're like, talk about that. Let's dive in. Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to season two of Sales Funnel Radio.
It was like a really small little local mastermind that reached out once and they're like, can we use your space to meet every once in a while? I was like, sure. So good networking. And we've actually been having quite a few people rent it lately, which has been fun to kind of show the studio off a little bit more. I forget how epic it is. This is going to sound really egotistical, but I forget how epic it is until someone else walks in and I'm like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. This place rocks, huh? You do everything you need to for like literally 2% of what it's not a 2% of what I used to pay to go to venues is what it costs me to run an event now. 2%, 98% discount by having my own spot. It's ridiculous how much cheaper it is. And it's also why I do so many, we do workshops and events every month now. They're smaller, but it's fun because I can, you know, the camera knows no difference, so I can just crank out awesome speakers, and it's really fun. So we've just been producing just awesome material with like these experts that don't have their own platform, and it's been super cool. So last night, Mastermind came in, and beforehand they'd asked, hey, could you come teach some of the how you get so many leads? And I was like, yeah. So I taught what I call it the three pillars of lead flow. Daily lead flow. High quality, high value daily lead flow. It was fun. What was hard is that room, like a lot of them didn't come from our world. And so, just the educational lift that it took for me on stage was so much harder. Plus it was already late at night, you know, and my stuff can be a little bit thick sometimes. And so, you know, it was a little late, they're a little tired and my stuff can be a little heavy. So it was good. It was tougher, to be honest. But what I wanted to do is I want to share with you guys, these three pillars of daily lethal. I actually started by showing the preview of the TV show Marley and I are working on. We decided one day, like it's actually literally the day after we got engaged, we're like, hey, what if we did a TV show about capitalist pig? And through some crazy, you know, hey, you're only two people away from the connections you need kind of scenario, we ended up getting in touch with a dude that the producer from like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Vanderpump Rules. He was the producer of Botched. I'm not a reality TV show guy, but it's just the dude's a real actual literal producer. And we chatted with him, you know, like the day after we got engaged, and then 5 days later he flew out and we filmed with a camera crew for a whole weekend to create a sizzle reel for a TV show. And we got it back last week. And the main guy that edited, which is freaking genius. That's all he does is he makes TV show previews. We went in, he's funny. He's like, this is awesome. It's so fun. Been so fun to get to learn from you guys and what you guys do. It's crazy. It's so fun. But he's like, I got another TV show. I got to go make, you know, sizzle reels and trailers for. He's like, so we got to get this done today. So anyway, it's so good. So I actually started the speech by showing it to the mastermind group last night, and it was fun, man. This is so freaking cool. So now we have brand deals with we actually have a huge call today with someone who wants to do a massive brand sponsorship.
We've learned it costs about $2 to $3 million to produce 12 episodes. And, now we're just finding brand sponsors to go pay for all that. And then, we're actually thinking we're going to be filming all next month. So the producer and all these Camry, they're looking for hotels and stuff to just basically live here the whole month of April. And, anyway, that's a little, just by the way, there's so much going on, guys. I have never in my entire 10 years, 12 years of doing this, I've never been in this level of flow, and I have never been at this speed while feeling like I'm sleeping a lot. Like I'm not killing myself. It's weird. I had a coach like 3 or 4 years ago tell me, he's like, dude, Steven, you're really good at push energy. You gotta learn pull energy so that things start coming to you without you like killing yourself over them. And it sounded like woo-woo crap to me when he first said it. And I kind of like called him out on that. And he's like, no, man, like watch. And so it's sure enough, as I've learned more and more how to like do that and approach tasks from that light, it's been funny. You know, we are hauling, but I also love it more than I ever have. I have more peace than I ever have while doing it. And the right people have just been coming to us. It's really fascinating. In fact, I had this massive realization last month that I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get better at leading leaders rather than leading just a project and handing it off to a team to run, because the caliber, like the best in the world on like YouTube, right? The top people in the world on newsletter, and best people in the world, top people in swag, and they're coming to us. They want to do all the stuff under the Capitalist Pig brand. There's two different publishing companies that want me to white label them, so that now we have a publishing business underneath the Capitalist Pig publishing banner, kind of like the Rich Dad Poor Dad banner, like Rich Dad Company. That's where I'm going to. The Capitalist Pig is a media business. It's got an associated TV show. It's got, just watch this thing freaking blow up. Really over the next year, and we're just, it's like all systems are turning on in a deafening speed. Anyway, 7 minute update. Let me get to the actual thing. So what I wanted to walk through and talk with you guys about is the seven, there's a, sorry, I saw there it's seven. I saw the number seven, gosh. Three pillars of daily lead flow really come down to, first and foremost, you kind of have to reframe what the internet is. And I've said this before on this podcast, right? There's no such thing as internet marketing. There's marketing and there's the internet. And the internet is just this gigantic distribution channel. That's really it, right? Huge distribution channel. And I'm not belittling it. It's just, I feel like it's easier to learn what marketing is when you remove the distraction of the internet. And then you figure out what marketing is. And then you use the internet to spread the marketing. And like that context really helps people understand what the internet isn't. Because otherwise you start believing that like what time you post on Facebook, that like matters and that's what marketing is. And that's not true at all, you know, or what, you know, what, you know, they get so into what the algorithm needs that they forget what marketing is. And I'm not saying there's no value in that stuff. There obviously is a ton of value in that, but don't think that that's what marketing is, right? So marketing is the act of lead gen. Simply put, it's the only way to measure marketing. You can't measure marketing in followers, list size, all right? If someone likes your video, there was someone that worked for me a long time ago. I've actually had a lot of people tell me this. They're like, our social media engagement is up by 200%. And I'm like, cool. Did we get any leads from that? Do we get any hand raises? Is anybody talking to our salespeople because that engagement went up? And they're like, well, no. And I'm like, all right, I'm not saying there's not value with that, but don't call it marketing. That's social media metrics, not marketing. Totally different, you know? So I really opened up hard with that concept yesterday and helped people understand that there's no such thing as a shortage of traffic. And you've noticed a massive lead and traffic starvation. There's a famine going on right now, and it started in 2020. Most businesses that began before 2020 are struggling right now and still have been for 5 years. Most of the masterminds that I'm in or plugged into, they're still trying to figure out this new landscape, because when AI came in and started getting so saturated in all these platforms, all the platforms got smarter. Facebook is smarter now. YouTube is smarter now, right? It's not just like a bunch of code in the back and you got to like guesstimate the algorithm. That thing self-updates, it self-learns. I heard once, it was like 2017, Google updates its own algorithm. Like the machine updates itself more than once per day, right? Like think about that. That was like, that stuff really changed in 2020. And that's true, that's real. And the reason why people have been struggling so much is they think that marketing is something it isn't. They think that funnels are something that they're not. And they think that traffic is like harder. You don't go get traffic. You go get in front of traffic. That's the way to think about it, right? There's traffic is increasing at an increasing rate. And that's some of the frames I just have to have people understand and recognize when they're learning. The Dramatic Demonstration book really opens with a lot of these concepts, because it's like, there's no such thing as a traffic famine. That's not what's happening. The lead famine is 100% due to a misunderstanding in messaging and positioning. That's it. And then you really want to throw gas on the fire? Learn what a dramatic demonstration is, because that's not the same thing as a launch. And now it's like, man, any company that I've been helping install this stuff, it like solves their lead problems forever, right? It's the shift to make because things changed in 2020. So with those frames in mind, that there's no shortage of traffic at all, right? It's the whole world's not even on the internet. Like, we're not at like critical mass and viewer and usership of the internet at all. When we went to Africa to like build schools and stuff like that, one of the things that, you know, someone who lives there who was helping us told us is like, yeah, we don't really, there's not a lot of computers in where we went in that particular spot in Africa. We were in Nairobi, and they use a lot of them don't even have smartphones. They're using actual flip phones and still have digital banking. It's like they rock harder with their phones than even like America does. Because they don't have computers, but they got phones. They're like really good on their phones. And so they're really interesting. That's my point though, is like there's so much of the world that doesn't even have, if you have like a laptop and you can stream video, dude, you're so far ahead already. Like, that's the other thing I opened it with yesterday. I was like, I had a buddy a year ago that was like, it's never been harder to make money on the internet. And I was like, it's never been easier than right now. Like, no offense. Like, yeah, stuff changes and shifts. And I promise it's going to continue to. That's the only constant. You know, it just changed. Not to be cliche, but it's true. Right? But if you can't figure it out now, you're probably not going to. Like, we have so many freaking tools. But part of what happens is I've noticed that people just misunderstand the tools, and they misattribute like responsibilities to certain tools. Like they think that funnels have anything to do with marketing. They don't. It's what stands at the end of your marketing, right? It captures the effects of the marketing that you did. But anyway, so I opened up real hard at that. And then I walked through the three pillars of daily lead flow. And when I'm actually doing like a 3-day workshop on this and helping people build these machines, it's actually six things that help a company have consistent daily lead flow. You know, for the sake of the fact that I only had an hour, which I went over a little bit, because they asked me to, which is cool. At the core, the three pillars. You can't do all six even without these three. You gotta have these three. The three are a dramatic demonstration, and the reason is because you don't have to have a list to do a dramatic demonstration. You don't have to have a following. In fact, Barnum used the dramatic demonstration formula at the beginning of his career when basically no one really knew who he was. Like, he wasn't famous. You know, that whole like Fiji mermaid story where he got like a fake mermaid and he used it to get all these people to his museum, and how he did that, he wasn't P.T. Barnum. That was like an early move in his career. He didn't really have a list, you know what I mean? He didn't have fame. He didn't. Dramatic demonstrations are
for people who have lists, and also specifically many times, and I found throughout history, are for people who don't have a list and don't have a following and don't have a fame and don't have a brand to their face, right? That, you know what I'm saying? And so I really opened hard with that, so people could see, like, don't sign this off because you're like, oh, I don't have a list. It's like, no. The best lists come because you did a dramatic demonstration. A list is not a requirement for or to do a dramatic demonstration. It's actually the opposite. The best lists, the most hot lists that love you, the biggest followings, the biggest Dream 100 relationships and influencers come because you did a dramatic demonstration. And it's one of the reasons why it is absolutely different than a traditional launch, this formula is that I found in history. So I opened up and I shared that with them. I was like, all companies need to do just one. You gotta have don't do a launch. You know, I don't want to get stuck in a launch business. Nobody does. I'm not teaching that. Okay. But when you build a product, you still have to launch it once. You know, Apple comes out with a new version of, you know, iPhone 57, and they still have to launch it, right? Every offer you come up with, you still have to do a launch. You gotta do one, right? So follow the dramatic demonstration formula, so that by the end, you got this huge list also that you can continue to do marketing with. You don't have to continue to do launches. Just do it once. Everything needs to be launched once, right? Anyway, so that's the first pillar of daily lead flow. And it's because of all these, it's not just about the launch either. It's not just about the dramatic demonstration. It's about what a dramatic demonstration gives you after it's over. You get all these assets. You get all this stuff that makes it so that daily lead flow becomes kind of a breeze. But if you never go do a launch, you don't get those assets, and it becomes a lot harder to get daily lead flow. Anyway, so that's the first pillar. The second pillar is what I call an offer hook. That's very different than a sales message. It is not a headline. It's funny, I even asked it last night. I was like, can someone describe, what is a hook? And this lady in the front, she was like, a hook is the thing that gets their attention. You know? And I hate that definition of a hook. It's a super, super weak definition of a hook. And I started talking about that, and someone was like, why? I was like, well, I can kick you in the face. That got your attention. But it's got nothing to do with the sale. It's got nothing. At the end, you're not going to be like, huh, tell me about your product. Right? You're like, why'd you kick me in the face? Meaning attention is not created equally. Right? And attention does not all result in the desired outcome we want. So a hook being the thing that gets attention, that's a terrible definition of a hook. It's super incomplete, right? It's the thing that grabs their shoulders and gets them to look at you. And I'm like, yeah, I could literally do that by grabbing their shoulders and getting them to look at me, but they'd be like, get off of me. What are you talking about? It's not a good definition of a hook. Okay, all a hook does is get someone to look at you and say, tell me more about your product. That's it. And that's why I've spoken at Funnel Hacking Live about this. It's a formula that I came up with 6 years ago. Wow. I didn't realize I was using it seven, but I started actually writing it down and using it on clients 6 years ago. And then I think I've written over 100 of them now. And they freaking work, man. When you use them, it's not a sales message. The problem with sales messages is that the sales message is all about you, your origin story, right? Where the product came from, why, right? It's how you came to be. The problem is that if I go and I start talking to someone and I'm just like, here's how I came to be, and they'll be like, all right, cool. Like, you're kind of self-centered. Like, I didn't ask you, or I didn't give you permission to start just telling me about where your product came from. Like, it's weird, right? So the messaging you go out and you market with has not your sales message. It's not the perfect webinar script. It's not the origin story. It's not the origin story about you. It's not the origin story about your product. They don't care about you yet. Okay, offer hooks are baked in their story. Offer hooks are baked in the customer's story. Okay, and it's a specific kind of story that's emotionally triggering in the right way on purpose by design. And some people don't like that, but it's true. Everyone knows buying is emotional, and then they get pissed when I write hooks that are emotional. So I'm like, get over it. Yes, I'm writing purposefully emotional, slightly triggering, but protecting hooks. Right? On purpose, right? It's emotional, and then like, you're trying to make it emotional. Yeah. Why would you not? Anyway, so that's the second pillar, is the offer hook. You can get that down.
all questions about what kind of content you should be creating go out the door. It becomes really easy. All questions about how you know, to get people to approach you instead of you approach them about your product, that gets totally solved. The offer hook is to marketing as the perfect webinar script is to sales, with the same level of power. And I'm calling my shot on that, and I have many times now. It literally cures lead flow issues. Now the third pillar is all about positioning, and I call it red ocean, blue offer. Red ocean, blue. I hate red ocean, blue ocean. Makes no sense. Why would I go do? Why would I build a blue ocean when there's already an ocean built? All right, it's like saying, because I built a product that's incredible and unique and no one's ever seen before, I should also build a market that no one's ever seen before. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
A little bit like saying, "I built this product, now I better go build a mall just so I have a place to sell my new product." It's like, why don't you go to the mall that already exists? If you can't convert the foot traffic that's just naturally walking by me, I'm not, certainly not going to go to the hell of building my own mall. Right? Think of it like that. So I would rather learn how to be unique in a red then go build a blue ocean. Now, red ocean, blue ocean is obviously still a wildly valuable and viable strategy. It's a $1 billion move for a reason. It's hell. It's hard. It takes 10 years and you better be like slightly a masochist to go do it, in my opinion. After I left ClickFunnels, I was like, I'm going to go do that again. That was tough. Helping build the funnel market. Like, I had a front row seat to it, man. You have no idea what would, like, the true story behind the scenes of what it took to build the funnel space. And it was hard. It was hard. I don't know that I got it in me to go do that again. So that's why I started looking at other ways to go create unique positioning. And I was like, what if I don't leave the red? That's where the people are. Right? You know what? Good. I've got competition. That's good. I've got other businesses that are already there who have already spent time, money, effort, and energy on building the biggest YouTube channel. How can I collaborate with that company? All right? They already built that channel called Massive YouTube Channel. Then over here, this company has this huge business and look how big the email list is they've got. Oh, it's awesome. It's so cool. I wonder, how could I JV with them? How could I do some kind of collaboration with them or involve them in my launch? Oh, and then over here, man, they got a huge podcast. Over here, they got a massive direct mail list. Direct mail still works. All offline methods you've ever heard of still work. Does that make sense? That's what channels are, marketing channels. And when you go to a market that's big and fat and red, daily lead flow is easy because you're not the only company in it, right? You got all the other businesses that are also trying to survive. The hard part about blue oceans is you're the only voice. So sometimes it can be harder. It's not saying you can't, but sometimes it can be harder because you're like, not only do I have to get to sell people on a product they've never heard of, I also have to sell people on a concept. It's a new market. I got to sell people on a new mall. Hey, and then I got to change their habits. Hey, instead of going to that mall customer that I wish was buying from me, instead of going to that mall that you always go to all the time, why don't you change your habits and behavior? Start coming over to this other mall. And someone's like, oh, cool. Things that are new and exciting. And there's a percentage of people that love that. There's also a huge percentage of people who are like, I'm a creature of habit. This is the mall I go to. If I'm right, right? A small percentage of people are early adopters and early movers. That's the diffusion of innovation's bell curve that you learn about in business, right? There's a percentage that loves new, meaning everybody loves things that are new and different to some degree, right? But certain people literally thrive off of it, right? They're the early adopters, as they call it. And that's great, but for the rest of humanity, a lot of people are just trying to keep, like, change is threatening, right? So now I got to go to a market and say, change malls, come over here, right? Does that make sense? So the third pillar of daily lead flow, and there's a lot of ways we apply that. There's six elements that we use to actually go do that. But those are the three principles that actually make daily lead flow possible. So number one, dramatic demonstration, which is not the same thing as a launch, but it's what you do with all the channels in a market that make it so that lead flow is freaking easy. The second thing is the offer hook. It's a form of messaging that's not your sales message. Stop talking about you or so fast. They don't care about you. They want to know that you care about them. It's the other way. It's their story, not yours, right? And it's a form of messaging that does not ever talk about your product. It gets their hand raised and then you have permission to talk about your product. It makes sales easier. It actually shortens the sales cycle. It shortens the success cycle post-purchase too. It's amazing. Okay. Then that third part is red ocean, blue offer positioning. I'm going to stay in the red because I got all these other companies who are my quote unquote competitors. But really what they're doing is they're also bringing in fresh blood to that red ocean, right? They're selling people. They're bringing in new people. I'm not the only voice. And so there's this never ending self-refilling ocean of new potential people I could pitch to all the time. It makes the world so much easier. And I love my parents. I love my mom. My mom, for years, thought I was selling kitchen funnels. Like, literally. I was like, Mom, what? No. I'm Russell. This is back when I was Russell's funnel guy. I think I was employee, like, 12 at ClickFunnels. Right? I was in the room when we decided we should probably focus on ClickFunnels. Like, man, this was... I remember when we were like, look, we should shut down these other businesses. What if we just all went on this ClickFunnels thing? It seems like it's going to be kind of big. I was in the room. It's really funny. So I was like, Mom, no, I'm building funnels for the funnel guy. I'm the funnel guy's funnel guy. Like, holy cow. How cool is that? You know? And she's like, so you sell kitchen funnels on the internet? Like, she didn't get it. Right? But that's, and as comical as that might sound, one of the things that people have our time with is they're like, oh my gosh, I can sell anyone who says they want to buy from me. They don't know the equivalent of the word funnel in your market. And so you got a huge amount of education across before they even value the product that you created. Does that make sense? Vocab is one of the best ways to upgrade the customer that you're fishing from. And if I get to go to a big fat red ocean, so people have already bought a product from my quote unquote competitors. They've already been educated off the back of these other businesses. It actually is easier to sell them than going and selling someone who's never heard of the thing that you do. What's a funnel? That happened to me last year. There was a guy that was two guys back to back. I think I told you guys this a bit ago in a podcast episode, but there's two guys back to back in the same week that didn't know what a funnel was. I don't know how I got on the phone with them, but they were like, they wanted to rent my studio for like, you know, 40 or 50 grand for their event. It's not really, I charge that for a lot of other reasons, but, and there's like consulting days and all these other things. So it's not usually what I charge, but anyway, I was like, so tell me, like, drop a funnel over to me in the
chat. I was on Zoom with them, so I can just check it out and see what your style is. And two different companies in the same week were like, yeah, you know, I've heard of this funnel thing and it sounds really, really interesting. And immediately I was like, oh my gosh, this is not a dream customer. It's not a dream customer. And I said to him, I was like, no offense. Usually it's not always the case. It depends how big the business is and how big of a check they're willing to write. But this is where you get to decide. Is that, you know, I just told him, I was like, typically I don't work with a business who's that new in the funnel game. Because I'm going to bring a lot of strategy to people who are, you know, already know funnels. And, you know, there's just a lot of basics to go through. So I was like, so I'm happy to work with you. My only request is that I'm not going to say yes right now. I just need you to go read Russell's Secrets Trilogy before we choose to jump in together. And one guy was pissed. And just, they were both surprised by that. I was saying no to a lot of money. But they're both surprised by that, individually. Obviously they didn't know each other, of course, but one guy was just ticked and he just left and he stormed out. However you storm out on a Zoom. The second guy, 2 weeks later, he sends me a message and he goes, I completely binged those books. I get it now. Holy crap. Yeah. Okay. And he became my dream customer. Does that make sense? That's one of the benefits of doing a Red Ocean strategy. I love Red Ocean. Fish from the Red. I'm writing a book on this, by the way. After the Dramatic Demonstration book comes out, Marley and I have one that's coming. Guys, and these aren't crappy books. I have a very high standard on book writing, and I hate the books that people put out, and they basically like transcribe a sales letter, and it's like 15 billion point fonts, and like, you know, there's like five lines on the page and the super heavy. No. I'm right. These are real books. Okay. 50 to 70,000 words, like actual books that I'm writing. I got a lot of books coming out on the way, but I got a book that's going to be just on this because I've been finding more and more that, building a blue ocean, sucks. And it's a good move if you're like, you know, it's a great move. I'm not saying it's not a strategy. It is a strategy, but man, it's like most people I work with, they just want like, they don't want the $1 billion play. They're down for the $100 million play. Oh, shucks. Right. They just want money for investments, time with family. They want to have a cool lifestyle. You know what I mean? They want to go affect the world and have an amazing impact. Building a market, building an industry, that's not for the faint of heart. You do have to be kind of Elon Musk, Russell Brunson, you know, Steve Jobs-esque. You're going to be a little crazy, all right? And some people just don't have that. And I used to think that anyone could be an entrepreneur, and I don't anymore believe that. And then when people, I do believe, you know, of the category, which you probably aren't an entrepreneur by listening to this, of the category that is, and if you're like, Steve, screw you, then yeah, show me up. I'm not here to tell you what you can and can't do, right? But this is just the patterns I've noticed for me and my experience. I've just noticed that 80% of the entrepreneurs I work with, they're not trying to go build an industry. They're not trying to go build a market. They're like, I got a cool product. I love my customer. Help me reach them more. I want to sell more. I want to make a little more money. I want to be out of debt. I want to have investments. I want more time with my family. I want to go travel the world. That's what they really want. In those cases, don't go build an ocean. Don't go build a market. Don't go build a mall. Stay in the red. That's where the people already are. That's where the companies already are. And you realize really quickly that competition is not really that real. Okay. So anyway, those are the three pillars. You do those three things, there's other stuff that we do with that, but daily lead flow starts to get really freaking easy. You don't do that stuff, lead flow starts to feel a little bit like a gamble. Because you don't, there's so many elements, so many cards are not in your favor. You don't, you know, and so it makes it really hard, right? If I can position myself in a way with or against or for my market, that's great because there is a market. It's a big one. It's red. It's competitive. And I want it to be big, rich, and old. Screw niches. I can't even, what does niche mean? I can't find anyone who can tell me what niche means. I'm like, you mean specific? I you need to be specific anyway. Niche? I don't know what niche means. I don't use the word niche. And I don't, riches in the niches. Like, riches are in being specific and fishing from big, fat, red oceans. It's actually easier to get rich in a big, fat, red ocean than it is in a tiny little corner of the internet. right? We say riches are in the niche. It's like, you mean come up with a hook? Like, what is a niche? I can't find anyone who tells me what a niche actually is. Riches are in the niches. Can we stop with stupid Instagram business advice? It's dumb. If it rhymes, it must be true. It drives me nuts. Like, that stuff is all over the internet. And I'm like, unless you're freaking rich, I'm not listening to your advice. I said that once, and someone close to me at one point really hated that. I'm like, what? If someone is not ripped, why would I take lifting advice from them? You get what I'm saying? It's the same thing with money. So be careful when you're going around. Like, most of the advice, you see, quote unquote advice, is very good intended. Like, what's the phrase? Great intention, but massively ill-informed. Right? So I'm screw Red Ocean, Blue Ocean for 80% of entrepreneurs. All right. Screw the riches in the niches thing. You fish from a big fat red ocean. It actually puts cards in your favor, and it's way easier to win. I hate Red Ocean. Red Ocean Blue Offer. Become unique in a sea of red. The people are already there. The companies are already there. Their channel's already built. It's way easier to be a marketer, and it's way easier to set up systems and walk and not come back for 10 years due to this virtue of the market being so big. You're not the only voice filling people, you know, with the market, or filling the market with people. Right? I love this topic so much. It drives me crazy. It's one of the first things I do with people is they're missing positioning. They got a good product. They got a good enough funnel, usually. Right? What they're missing is they got no hook. They got no positioning. Their messaging is garbage. And they're walking around the internet and they're sharing messaging that is really sales messaging, not market messaging. And wondering why they're offending people. Well, it's the equivalent of a door-to-door salesperson on your door. They knock on it, you open the door, and they're just standing there with an order form in your face without saying anything. Debit or credit? Of course that's offensive. That's what most quote-unquote marketers are doing. They're not marketing, they're selling. Totally different things. All right? Totally different things. All right, I got to get off the side horse. I also got to take my next daughter to the next school. So it's a lot closer though, so I don't podcast while I can do it. Hey, if you want to learn more about my funnel strategies, go to buildyourperfectfunnel.com. It's kind of the new 5-day challenge that I'm doing. We made it like, it's stupid cheap. I'm doing it on purpose. I just don't like free rooms anymore because the show-up rate sucks. So it's not expensive at all. It's like a couple bucks. But we do it just so that we know that you're also serious because I'm also serious. So go to buildyourperfectfunnel.com. And in 5 days, it's a 5-day challenge where I'm going to walk you through that in 5 days, you'll have your funnel done. I'm going to give you homework each day. But it's not impossible to build a funnel in 5 days. Most of the funnels I'm building are usually done in 2 or 3. But above just the act of building it, I'm also going to teach you how to think about it. I'm also going to teach you more about the actual software stack that I use. I use way less softwares now than I ever have. Way less. I saw an article, I think it was from Inc. magazine. I think so. It was some research, I think it was from them. Some research that showed that it's actually comical because most 6-figure companies, I'm going to mess up the numbers just a little bit, but you'll hear the principle. Most like 6-figure businesses have like 200 softwares they're subscribed to or something ridiculous. 7-figure businesses have like 100. 8-figure businesses have like 50. Isn't it? It's actually interesting to note. That was the point of the article. It's like, what's comical is that newer businesses think they need all these softwares. They got to be subscribed to all this stuff. The number of subscriptions in a younger, right, business with far less revenue is wildly asymmetrically higher than like a 7- and 8-figure business. They start to get more and more optimized. They start to unsubscribe from stuff. But what I'm going to do too as part of this is I'm going to show you guys my tech stack because we're very much that way. I have cut out 80% of the tech that I used to use in the past. So I'll show you my tech stack also. Some of it might surprise you on what I actually use. We used to have 200 zaps running, 200 live zaps. That's so much automation in the back just to get this software to talk to that. It's a spaghetti. It's crazy. It's so hard to manage. And if you can't ever pass the get hit by a bus test, you know what I mean? That's what I call it. So it's like so much risk for the business when you have just the spaghetti crazy tech crap in the back. So I'm going to teach you how to think about funnels. I'm going to teach you about the tech stack. I'm going to give you my top 5 favorite funnels. And they're ones that I built. I'm just going to give them to you so you can just use them whatever you want as part of that. just as a thank you for being in it. But I also need you to have it because I want you to choose a funnel because you're going to build it while we're in it. Anyway, so buildyourperfectfunnel.com. I'm totally pitching right now, I guess, but it's good. The first time I did that, I've done this challenge, I think once or maybe twice, but it was like 3 years ago. I couldn't believe it. I was looking at the replays yesterday to like get some notes from something. It's like, holy crap. It's been 3 years since I've done this. But I had 3,000 people come to it the first time I ever did it. I couldn't believe it. It's a popular challenge, and you're not a guinea pig. I kind of have taken the best from the old One Funnel Away challenge that I used to run, as well as the best of all these other challenges that I've done on my own. And so it's like the 20% that creates the 80% outcome, rather than me teaching like, you know, a college level course. This is kind of how I used to teach too much. So it's wildly simplified. So anyway, buildyourperfectfunnel.com. And if you're hearing about it, so it's live, obviously, as I'm doing it, but then we are going to automate it. And it's just because it's good. So if you go to it now, it's live and it says it's live. So I don't trick anybody. If it's live, it's live. If it's not, it'll say, hey, encore. It's all there for you. So you can walk through it still. All right. You guys are great. Thank you so much for listening. And, remember that funnel building is very different than marketing. And funnel building is mostly a sales role, not a marketing role. So once you build the funnel, it's all about marketing. And marketing, right, there's pillar. You got to think about it in a way that's not just like, what time do I post on Facebook? That stuff matters, but it's not marketing. So, all right, guys. I'll see you in the challenge. buildyourperfectfunnel.com. Last month, I had 63 people in a workshop at my event studio, and I was just trying to get to know the audience. And so I said, raise your hand if you feel confident in your funnel. I expected half the room to say yes, half the room to say no. Literally nobody raised their hand. It got me thinking, if you're not confident in your sales funnel at all, what marketing are you actually willing to do? Probably zero. When I'm confident in my sales funnel, I naturally market harder and more loudly. So back by popular demand, I'm actually doing the Build Your Perfect Funnel 5-day challenge. All the details and registration is actually at buildyourperfectfunnel.com. The first time I did this challenge in 2022, I had over 3,000 people register, and it took it as a sign that people are not loving their funnel, but they also know that it's an essential part of internet business today. In the Build Your Perfect Funnel challenge, I'm actually gonna show you how to build your perfect funnel, of course, yes. But I'm also gonna show you all the stuff that supports the funnel and makes it work after you've created it. I'm going to show you everything from choosing the two funnels that every business needs, something I call the warm traffic whisper launch, the infinite leads from red ocean strategy. I actually hate blue ocean strategies. They're a million times harder. It's easier to build funnels for red oceans. My fortune follow-up sequence, which is responsible for over half my sales. I'll teach you how a funnel works in a dramatic demonstration, offer hooks, brand hooks, market origin stories. I'll teach you cart open and close strategies, as well as how I choose what kind of upsells and downsells should be inside the funnel. Guys, I'm going to share with you everything I've learned over the years to launch immense amount of funnels online, both for myself and for big names. This is a 5-day virtual challenge with yours truly, straight from my stage. But you can watch from the comfort of your own home or literally around the world. So whether you're starting from scratch or looking to elevate your business, go grab a seat at buildyourperfectfunnel.com. And having a dependable funnel is the one thing holding entrepreneurs back right now. Go to buildyourperfectfunnel.com right now to register, and be sure to get a copy of my top 5 producing funnels from the last 10 years of my funnel journey. Again, that's buildyourperfectfunnel.com. I'll see you there.